Welcome to the Leadership Upside Podcast with Chuck Carringer, where we discuss what successful leaders are doing, saying, and thinking.
Welcome to Leadership Upside Podcast. I'm your host, Chuck Carringer. Our guest today is Josh Andrews. Josh is the owner and CEO of Finish Point Trim and Millwork Incorporated, located in Knoxville, Tennessee. Josh, welcome to Leadership Upside.
Thank you, Chuck.
Josh, you're the owner and CEO of a growing small business. For context, can you tell us about the Finish Point story?
You know, Finish Point was something I started shortly after I came out of college. I finished a four-year degree at the University of Tennessee in 2006. And I became introduced to general contracting right before I finished college. And I just remember the pressure of finishing a business degree and not really having a clue what I would do with my life. But I had checked the box for a four-year degree. And I'm thankful that I met construction before I finished, because I really fell in love with building things and understanding how things got built. Specifically, the carpentry work was appealing to me. And I went in for a one-year review with a fellow named Chris Bolton. He was the president of a local general contracting company at the time. And I thought a one-year review was where you got fired or they told you everything you'd done wrong in the past year. But he just wanted to make sure I was enjoying my time with the company and see if there was enough connection there to continue working together. And I told him that I just really wanted to learn how to work with my hands more. And he was kind enough to tell me that that probably was never going to happen in that company, because it's a management company. And he said, you ought to go out there and start working for yourself. And I think the advice was a little premature, because I really didn't know what I was doing. But I did jump from job to job for about the next 18 months, working with different people that taught me technical things. And sadly, I just couldn't find the experience I was looking for in getting trained on how to do carpentry and build things. And I had to break out on my own and become self-employed. So most of what I learned in the beginning was self-taught, and that was a very brutal and expensive experience, but I did learn much faster than I would have otherwise. So I'm thankful that it happened the way it did. I started the business like most people in the construction business or building trades. It was two guys in a pickup truck, and I was the first guy, and my brother was the second one. So I remember I talked him into quitting his $9 an hour job and coming to work for me, I think for $10 or $11 an hour. And we started building the team from there. We worked a lot of hours and did a good job for all the customers that we took care of. The company has took a turn from being a light remodeling company and general skilled trade to finish carpentry, which is, you know, all the trim work that goes on the inside of homes and commercial buildings, crown molding and doors, and just all the trim work that, you know, makes a house look pretty at the end of the job. And now we transitioned into building cabinets as well about 6 years ago. So at this time, the company employs between 25 and 30 people. We've got trim guys, and we've got architectural millwork guys. We've got cabinet builders. We've even got cabinet designers, you know, that spend time with customers and understand what they want. We've got quite a diverse team, but the way we started was not dissimilar to the way anybody else starts a small business.
Well, Josh, it's a great story from my perspective. Many of us have seen the statistics about small businesses and the number of those small businesses that don't make it beyond a year or 2 years. The fact that you've grown your company to having 25 to 30 employees from when you and your brother started is a great story. So congratulations on the success to this point. I know there are big things in the future. I want to ask you a question. If your best friend was opening their own business, given what you know now, and ask you to share some of your lessons learned from your experiences, what would you tell them?
Well, I would say I'd answer the question differently on season of life, honestly. If I were talking to a young person, say that was between 18 and even 30 years old, I would say I would go for it. You know, if you've got a bug and you think you might want to do it, life is short, and I would get out there and take a chance. The worst thing that could happen is, you know, you hit the reset button, it doesn't work out, and you know for the rest of your life that you said yes to something that was a dream of yours. And I just can't imagine carrying that forever. And I see too many people, you know, afraid of taking the jump. And there aren't too many people that have made a run at being self-employed and took a risk or a gamble that was calculated and they were wise about the decision, but regretted doing it. Most people are thankful for the experience they got out of it. And a lot of people wind up being successful. I would say, I love Dave Ramsey's book, Entree Leadership. And he's got great advice for folks that are middle-aged, where Dave would say, you need to figure out how to replace some or most of your income before you make the jump. You know, you're going to have to do your job, and then you're going to have to build this thing after hours and make sure you've got real revenue and customers when you hit the ground running. So it's different in different seasons of life. And that's why I would always encourage a young person when I'm talking to them to make the jump and go for it before the stakes continue to get higher and higher.
Yeah. Hey, Josh, let's stay on that young person for a minute who might be listening to this podcast and similar to you, they had a talent and a passion. Where would they start out? If they were going to start their own business, what would you say? Hey, make sure you do these one, two, or three things pretty early or in this order. Would you give them any further advice?
I did get a four-year degree in management marketing, and I think that sometimes I undervalue that because I'm so frustrated with the education system and for different reasons, and I wish we gave kids more of a chance to really practice those skills during the learning process. But that being aside, I do think that I got some exposure to some basic finance, some HR stuff, so you don't do something silly or stupid or wind up in a lawsuit. I learned some general things about sales and marketing. And I grew up working at a golf course where it was my job to be personable with, you know, upwards of 100 people every day. So there are some skills I started with that I think I take for granted. I think you do need to appreciate that you've got to have some basic business fundamentals. And but apart from that, you know, you being willing to work on yourself and be prepared to be on a leadership journey is probably going to be the deciding factor in whether or not you're going to make it. I think many times the greatest enemy or greatest challenge we face is looking back at us in the mirror. And if we're not working on that person and realize that a lot of our challenges and adversities start with us, then we're going to be fighting an invisible enemy. So I would just say be prepared to be on a personal growth journey because self-employment will challenge you for sure.
That's good. That's great advice. Let's stay on that leadership journey for a minute. Josh, I'd like to know, in your own leadership progression, have you made changes in your leadership as your company has grown? And if so, how?
Yeah, I guess I've been in business for about 13 years now. This will be our 14th year. And I feel like somewhere around 6 or 7 years ago, I just remember feeling really out of control and really struggling with, you know, knowing how to lead a team and keep up without just working copious amounts of hours to outwork everybody. And my first introduction to leadership that really hooked my attention and it took it from being a generic word to something that really meant something to me was attending the Global Leadership Summit. I remember just being in tears, realizing how I'd spent so many years trying to fix people and get them to do what they were supposed to do to make the business work. And I knew I cared about people, but I think I had lost some of the humanity and really making sure that I was loving and caring for people. And one of the things I'm thinking about right now is how important it is. Everybody that comes to work has got to make a paycheck, and they're looking for a whole lot more than just the money. And I think that it's honestly, it's a tragedy as leaders if we don't have something more to offer them. And I want to make sure that at this point in my life, I'm willing to invest in the people that work for me in such a way where they feel like they're being handsomely rewarded for the time they spend with this company, apart from the money.
Josh, let me go back to something you said about your own leadership and that, you know, as it's evolved over time and you recognize people are coming to work for more than just a paycheck. And you want to love and care for the people who serve with you at Finish Point, those you lead, your employees. And I also know that there is a business reality and there's a leadership reality that sometimes requires some very tough decisions. How are you able to balance or mesh those two realities of, hey, it's important to me that I really care for my people, and it's also important for me as I navigate the business to make some tough calls? How do you reconcile those two elements?
Well, I think that just really being hell-bent on caring about the staff so much that I'm willing to do anything I can to serve them. I think that, you know, I make hundreds of business decisions every week to make sure we're doing the right thing. And many of them are financial. We have to scrap to get through things. We've got to scratch and claw and figure out how to, fix our errors and our problems. And so there is a lot of pressure just to keep up with the everyday work. But when it comes to people, I just think it's so important to remember that at the end of the day, I want our clients to be happy. I want them to be thankful for what we've done for them. I want them to feel like they invested their dollars well with us. I want to run a business that can support my family. But what's going to really matter in the end is the impact that we made on people's lives. And I think it's so important as a leader to keep that in the forefront. I'm going to give you an example here. I remember reading a few years ago that the average turnover was somewhere around, like, was it 22 to 26 months, Chuck, that people would spend in a job before they made the jump and did something different. And we live in a market right now where if somebody is not happy with their job, they can put an application in with 10 companies at lunchtime. You can't screw up too long before people are ready to move on. And I like that in the sense that it provides more accountability for culture and leadership and making sure that we're treating people right. But the motivation many times in business talk is staff retention. How can we keep people here? And most of the conversations revolve around, like, what's the least amount we can do for them or give them to keep them on the hook? And I think it's better to spin it and say, you know, how can we take care of these folks and care about them with reckless abandon, you know, and just think, even if they don't stay here forever, that's okay. It's the mission is not to keep these people here at this company working for us and with us. The mission is to help these people take next steps in life and think, what does it look like to have a win-win relationship here? If we know how to manage them well and help them participate in the work in a meaningful way, the business is going to get taken care of. What does it look like to make sure that staff member wins and they walk away saying, you know, I paid my bills while I was there. Maybe I got paid well. I enjoyed the job. I liked the work. I enjoyed the team, but I'm a better person because I spent that time there. I think that's just so much more valuable than trying to do like employee retention.
Awesome. Awesome. Josh, you mentioned the word culture. And, you know, it's been my observation from working with a number of different leaders and organizations that every company has a culture. And my impression is the culture at Finish Point is very important to you. Can you talk a little bit about your culture, the efforts on the leadership side that you've gone to create that culture? Talk to us about culture.
You know, I would say, in the beginning, I knew how to be polite and do the right thing with people and respect folks in general. I came from a good family and learned a lot of those things growing up. And in time, you come to appreciate that more and more and just realize that not everybody gets that kind of experience growing up. But as a leader and a business owner, I think it took a long time before I was confident about feeling like we were doing the right thing. I mean, if you were to sit me down, I could tell you all the right answers on how to treat people and what the culture is supposed to be like and what it looks like to have this combination of getting a lot of work done and being able to have fun while we're doing it. I could explain all that stuff, but I just don't think I was confident about it enough to be able to lead with it. It took spending some time with some mentors and coaches and folks that I respect that, you know, helped me hone that in and add clarity to the right words to use for it. And then, when I was more confident about it, I realized how important it was to just teach it constantly. And so we spend time with our team. We do things called leadership talks once a month where we get together and we talk about a principle or a topic that's important for a leader to understand. And every week at our weekly meeting, we go through one of our values and just talk about it, what it means. And, you know, in the beginning, it's kind of like going and working out. You know, everybody's probably thinking, oh boy, here we go again. Josh is going to make us talk about a value or the mission. And you know, sometimes I have to cut the conversation off because it's time to get back to work. Everybody enjoys talking about how important it is to do certain things that are part of who we are as a team. Everybody's got a heart for it, but if the leader's not taking the time to draw them out and get it on the table and talk about it and help new people understand how important it is and add the words to the culture that hopefully we can feel and is around us, I just don't think we have a chance at maintaining it.
Josh, that's super cool. Would you share just one of your company's values with us, just to give us a sense of maybe the topic of one of those talks and how you go about instilling that value once you talk about it? You know, do you bring additional emphasis to it maybe in that week or over a period of time?
Yeah, I'm just going to try to pick one here that we talked about recently. One of our values is do work you're proud of. You have to forgive me for going PG-13 here on you, but a lot of times we'll talk in our company about the difference between, you know, just a fun culture and a kick butt culture. And both are fun. But the one is fun for the wrong reasons and one is fun for the right reasons. And what we want is the kind of culture where everybody comes in and does work they're proud of, in the sense that we did a really good job on it. We're proud of the way we did it. We're proud of our work ethic. We're proud on how we did, proud of how we did teamwork. If I just put the value out there and say, do work you're proud of, everybody's going to think we're just talking about the technical execution of the work. You know, I created the document, you know, I took it across town and I delivered, you know, whatever I was supposed to do. And there's so many technical jobs, but if we add words to that and language around how important it is to talk about the process, the guys can take so much more pride in putting in an honest day's work, you know, and know what it means to like leave it on the field every day. And then while we're working and getting our work done, we see the guy beside us, you know, and we engage him when he's struggling and help him be a part of it or teach somebody some new skills. I mean, there's so much more to do work you're proud of than just the technical execution of it. And us talking about it, their mind at the end of a meeting like that is just wrapped around everything I do counts, you know, the way I carry myself, the way I conduct myself. The amount of time we spend doing water cooler conversations or letting lunch hour run on. I mean, just everything matters. You need to be proud of the work you're doing. And a lot of people just need help knowing what that means.
I love it. Do work you're proud of. What a great value. And your explanation was fantastic. Josh, I want to ask, if I could, about the place you are today at Finish Point, and you think of the concept of scaling. You know, many leaders have a natural bent towards growing things, and more is always better. At the place that you are today at Finish Point, and you think of the future, what are your thoughts for the business? Is it your intention to, you know, continue to grow it out, or will you reach a point where you think, hey, you know what? This is the size for me.
Yeah, I would say for the first 10 years, I would have somebody tell me, share a lot of wisdom and say something like, you know, Josh, there's more ways to grow than just, you know, in size and scale. You know, you could grow and have a more mature business, a more profitable business. You could have a better culture. You know, you could get it to where the business is still doing the same revenue or profitability and you're working less hours. There's just so many ways to grow. And I think that I would give lip service to that for the longest time and say, yeah, that's great and everything. But in my heart, you know, I think we just wanted to put up big numbers. And I was probably right in the middle of that. Let's keep growing the revenue because that seems flashy and impressive. And it's probably some combination of ego and just not valuing the right things. I would say somewhere in the last few years, I've gotten to where I really do believe that more and more, that I'm not as worried about the big number as much as I am about profitability, making sure that everybody that works in our company gets a really good handshake. I want to make sure that every customer we serve has a great experience. And that's turned more into what I'm interested in scaling, is customer satisfaction, our employees being able to enjoy their jobs. I'd like to scale that part of the business more.
Josh, I know you to be a student of leadership, avid reader, consumer of information related to leadership. Can you share with us a few of your favorite resources when it comes to leadership?
Yeah, so I was, there's so many I would do here, but in as much as we're talking about general business leadership books, the ones that have meant the most to me, Multipliers is a fun book by Liz Wiseman. I remember early in my leadership journey, that meant a lot to me. It's a book that talks about how much we can have an impact on others. And it's that was probably one of the books that helped me grow some confidence about being a leader. One of the books that jumps out at me that's one of my favorites is Crucial Conversations by Kerry Patterson. That book is, I would say, essential for a leader, because it talks about what happens to your brain and your body when we go into high stakes conversations. Your adrenaline starts running. You know, many times we'll walk out of a conversation and say, "Man, I wish I had thought to say that," or "I can't believe I forgot that." And a lot of times it happens because all the blood runs out of your brain and it stops working. So, you know, if you're going to make it through a lot of challenging conversations as a leader and lead through challenging stuff, I'd say Crucial Conversations is an essential book. All the books by Patrick Lencioni have really changed my business and leadership. I think if I had to pick one, I'd say Five Dysfunctions of a Team. Somebody asked me for a book list the other day, and I put this one at the top, and I said, I think I've listened to that book somewhere between like 10 and 15 times.
So it is a great book. Mm-hmm. Any others?
Super Bosses by Sidney Finkelstein, I think, was maybe the most pivotal leadership book that I've ever read. And we talked about some of those principles earlier when we were talking, but Sidney goes through and features a lot of just world-changing managers, bosses, business leaders. And it's this book that will help you realize that if you, in your heart, can genuinely celebrate people that come working for you, whether they stay or go, you do everything you can to help them win. And many times in the book Super Bosses, he'll feature someone that literally helped a staff member or employee get an opportunity with somebody else, and we're willing to watch them get off their payroll and go somewhere else in life. And so many times they have created this kind of talent hotbed where people show up from all over the place because they want to spend a season of their professional career working with that super boss. And the reason I love this book is because we talked earlier about how many people are changing jobs about every 2 years right now. And I remember thinking, I've got to wrestle with reality and realize that we may only have people for a few years and still be able to call that a win. We're just not going to get the 20, 30, 40 year old, 30, 40 year employee anymore. And if I'm going to have folks coming and going as frequently as every few years, it'd be great for them to be folks that could literally come in and be a part of transforming the company in that short time they're with us. Super Bosses is definitely a book that changed my leadership perspective on, like we talked about earlier, talent retention and being willing to have an open hand towards staff and being willing to do the right thing for people and help them in any way we can, even if it means they're not going to work with us anymore.
Awesome. Thanks for those recommendations. Josh, when you think of your company, Finish Point, you've seen it grow. What are you most proud of when you think of Finish Point?
I'd say there's two things that I'm most proud of in regards to the business. One is we've got a great reputation in town, because I feel like we do the right thing for our customers. I really do believe we mess up as much or more than anybody else that we compete with. And so many times the only difference is, I always say, we work in residential construction a lot of times. And I say, I'm not leaving until you're happy or you kick me out, you know, and I've only been kicked out about one time in 14 years. And so I think that I'm really proud of our team, that we do our best work for folks. We try to make sure that we exceed their expectations and provide real value. That's a big deal to me. The other thing that I would say I'm even more proud of is how many folks have come to work in our company and have been able to say that working in the company has literally changed their life. And at this point, it's really more people than I could count. A lot of guys have said that it's changed their career. I've seen guys come in that had a lot of technical skill, but nobody had ever invested them in regards to leadership or their personal skills. I've seen a lot of those guys come in and literally double their incomes. They came and worked with us for a season, and the things that they learned in our company allowed them to just like take, you know, five big steps in their career. I think it's remarkable. We've had a lot of guys come in and say that it's changed their personal life. I've had several guys say, working in this company has changed my marriage. Had a guy tell me one time, I don't think I'd be married anymore if it wasn't for the time I spent working at Finish Point. I remember many guys that have looked at me, you know, almost in tears when they quit working for the company to move to a different market or start working for themselves. And they'll almost have this, there's like this obligation that they feel. They might say something like, you know, I want you to know that I'm going to carry this baton everywhere I go. And it's interesting to think that what they learned working in, with our team and around our guys created a compulsion for them to say, I'm not giving up on this, you know, it matters. And I'll take that over like keeping somebody, you know, on staff forever, all day, any day. And I just think somebody saying, taking the spirit of what we're trying to accomplish is so much more important than wearing the t-shirt, you know?
Mm, right on. Josh, I'm so grateful for you being with us today on Leadership Upside and sharing so authentically about your leadership journey and a bit about your company. Anything else you'd like to mention?
Well, I would feel awful if we walked away from this without me telling you how much I appreciate you, Chuck. And for anybody that's listening, Chuck didn't ask me to say this, but he has helped me through the last few years through some very challenging situations. Chuck was helping me when COVID hit and has been a real good a mentor to me and somebody that I could count on calling and just getting through a lot of just countless situations where you need help. And if I could say anything else, I would say you need to have somebody like that in your life. It could be a friend, a parent, somebody that's rooting for you, has had some success in their life, just got some good street smarts, you know, and knows how business and people work. And I would just encourage folks, like so many times we're embarrassed that we don't know the answer. There's a lot of shame around that. And I would say, you know, you're going to realize if you start reaching out for help that many folks that are running, even in the Fortune 500, you know, those executives up there, like they need the same kind of help, but just a few more zeros behind it. They're working on the same stuff. So reach out, get some help, you know, be a part of a group where you're connecting with people that are fighting the same battles. But I just want to say thanks to you, Chuck, for helping our team so much over the last few years. We're thankful for the friendship and we're thankful for you helping our business.
Josh, thank you. It's been my pleasure. Thanks for listening to this episode of Leadership Upside, where we discuss what successful leaders in diverse organizations are doing, saying, and thinking. Today, our guest has been Josh Andrews. If you'd like to connect with Josh or learn more about Finish Point, please visit finishpointinc.com. That's finishpointinc.com. Josh, thanks again for sharing your wisdom with us today. Leaders, encourage you to lead well today. Until next time on Leadership Upside, thanks for listening.
Thanks for joining us today. Head over to chuckcarringer.com for more information.